You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. The Seaside School District announced this week that Seaside High School and Middle School principal Jeff Roberts will be the next superintendent following the retirement of Susan Penrod. Roberts will officially step into the role July 1st. Penrod will assist with the transition before stepping down. Roberts' announcement comes as the district enters a new phase with updated facilities after a multi-year construction project, relocating its schools to modern facilities outside the tsunami inundation zone. There will be a search for Roberts' replacement as principal at Seaside's high school and middle school. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Renovation plans at Warrenton's Robinson Community Park have been updated to include 4 new pickleball courts, a full basketball court, and 1 improved tennis court. Originally, the plan was to simply improve the existing tennis courts and make them adaptable for pickleball players. The nonprofit Warrenton Parks Alliance and the city's Park Advisory Board had been advocating for more pickleball and other improvements. The changes add to the overall estimated cost for the renovation as it was bid out, but remain within the city's budget for the project. To save on costs, instead of excavating and rebuilding completely, city crews will compact the existing material and use it for the build. Construction will be complete next month. This story is brought to us through a news partnership with the Columbia Press. More than 400 communities in the Pacific Northwest are at higher risk of wildfires than first thought, according to an Oregon State University researcher. KLCC's Brian Bull reports on how these findings can help prevention and recovery efforts for vulnerable communities.
Andy McAvoy is a research assistant at OSU's College of Forestry who led the creation of a tool that assesses risk across the region. He says besides environmental factors, there's the Social Vulnerability Index, the relative ability of communities to prepare for and recover from wildfires based on socioeconomic characteristics.
There are some communities that are both in high hazard regions, but also experiencing relatively high degrees of social vulnerability. This analysis sort of highlights them as potential priorities for investment in the future in the way that they have not been in the past.
Many risk-prone sites are in dry, rural areas with less than 5,000 structures. The study was funded by the U.S. Forest Service and can be found in environmental research letters. I'm Brian Bull, reporting in Eugene.
After pausing citywide rollout of the technology earlier this spring, Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson says she's decided that all city employees will now be allowed to use Microsoft's artificial intelligent Copilot chatbot. KNKX Murrow News fellow Nate Sanford has more.
Former Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell piloted Microsoft Copilot with a group of 500 city employees last year. Feedback was positive, and staff reported saving an average of 2.5 hours each week. The city's IT department said the tool was especially helpful for research, drafting, editing, and summarizing meeting notes. Mayor Katie Wilson pumped the brakes on the technology's rollout shortly after she took office, citing a need for more time to make sure the tool aligned with the city's values. But Wilson says she's now decided to make Copilot available for all city employees. Staff will be encouraged to complete training about AI, but they won't be required to use it. In a blog post, the mayor says the city has a responsibility to keep up with technological change to better serve residents. Nate Sanford, reporting.
The city of Seattle has a lot of responsibilities this summer as one of the local hosts of the World Cup. As Anna Boyko-Wyrock reports, local officials are matching up dollars with items on the to-do list.
From beautification to public safety, Seattle City Council is setting aside $32 million to pay for it. More than half of that comes from federal grants, and most is going to the Seattle Police, Fire, and Transportation Departments. The money will cover items including overtime, traffic control, staff training, fire extinguishers, and toilet rental. Around $2 million in federal funds is specifically to protect against any threats from aerial drones. Today, a Seattle City Council committee approved the funding. The city's Tourism Bureau expects the World Cup to generate close to $1 billion locally. Seattle's first match is June 15th. In Seattle, I'm Anna Boyko-Wyrock.
According to the CDC, if you're a person of Native American descent, you're almost 3 times more likely to have type 2 diabetes than a white adult. But many regional tribes now offer diabetes management programs to help their patients fight these odds. NWPB's Rachel Sun reports from Nemipu Health in Lapway, Idaho.
For years, McCoy Altman kept a pair of pants in his closet that he never wore.
And I could barely like squeeze my leg into them, you know. And I thought, oh, I'll just keep these, maybe one day, you know, I'll lose weight.
Altman had yo-yo dieted for years, he says. He developed prediabetes, and at his heaviest, his size started to make daily life difficult.
I have 3 daughters, so being active, they're in dance and karate, and so being able to be part of that with them, and even like tying your shoes, you know, I remember I was at my biggest, you know, trying to tie my shoes and get out of breath.
Last year, Altman became one of the first participants in a diabetes management pilot program at the Nez Perce Tribe's Nemipu Health Clinic. The program offered comprehensive support, cooking classes, medication management, and group fitness, plus access to behavioral health support and wellness education. Months later, when the town hosted a 5K, Altman was there, about 80 pounds lighter.
So me and my oldest daughter ran in that 5K.
Julie Keller is a dietitian at the clinic. She says learning how to take better care of your body can be hard. She recalled one cooking class in the first pilot where patients were supposed to cook quinoa.
Our quinoa story is probably the funniest. So I had quinoa that we were cooking in it because I knew it had been distributed. And I had 5 different people come to my office and tell me that they'd put it out in a bowl for squirrels because they had no idea what to do with it.
Keller says education is a big part of the diabetes management program. Their first 16-week pilot showed major early improvements for patients. That included 17 out of 19 patients losing weight and about half seeing a reduction in their hemoglobin A1C levels. That is, the measure of blood sugar over time used to diagnose diabetes. Native American people face a much higher rate of type 2 diabetes than the general population. One reason is that historically, reservation allotments and federal policies often limited access to traditional whole foods in favor of processed rations like flour, lard, and sugar.
I don't know if you've ever had fry bread. You know, people like consider that traditional food, but it's not. It's just from what was given to us, and we made what we could.
Marissa Verducci is Nemipu Health's diabetes program coordinator. She says food insecurity also makes diabetes management harder. Many tribal communities are in food deserts, so the food you can buy costs more.
I think that our closest grocery store is 16 miles away, other than Valley Foods, so that does make it harder to make those healthier choices.
Shannon Turner, another patient who went through the pilot program, says she's off her diabetes medication because she doesn't need it anymore. She says the mental health support and culturally informed guidance was especially helpful.
Culturally, our community, we eat. Events are surrounded by food. When you go to a powwow, you feed everybody. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. I think what the program has really focused and helped is that we can still do those things, but we can do them in a healthier way.
Nemipu Health isn't the only tribal clinic to find success. At the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation's Yellow Hawk Clinic, patient data showed those enrolled between 2019 and 2023 achieved improvements in hemoglobin A1C values over time. A 2020 report to Congress on the Special Diabetes Program for Indians, which funds both of those clinics' programs, showed that average blood sugar levels at Native American health programs decreased by an average of 10% over roughly 2 decades. Reporting in Lapway, Idaho, I'm Rachel Sun.
Washington and Idaho residents are dropping their subsidized health insurance coverage after Congress failed to renew federal tax credits. Your Health Idaho reports about 5,000 fewer people are covered through the state exchange compared to the same time last year. Director Pat Kelly says thousands of people bought policies when they thought Congress would extend the credits. They dropped them when Congress did not.
Affordability concerns really permeated all of the decisions that we saw Idahoans make. One example of that is we saw bronze plans grow by 9 percentage points. With that being driven by people moving from silver and gold.
In Washington, exchange officials report nearly 40,000 fewer people are covered this year. They say it's the largest decrease since the state's marketplace opened. Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. You're listening to KMUN.